asked if you would stand for the opening scripture. Ephesians chapter number 4, verse number 22. And we're going to read verse number 22 and verse number 23. We could get that on the screen. Amen. Amen. Thank God for the first lady. Amen. She bust the move on me. Amen. Wherever she is, amen. Thank God for her. Amen. Where is she?
Amen. Amen.
Right. Oh, amen. She's in the balcony. All right. God bless you. Amen. Come on, let's just put our hands together for our first lady. Come on, let's show her how much we appreciate her. Amen. We love you. We love you. We love you. Amen. Ephesians chapter number 4, verse number 22. Amen. Ephesians chapter number 4, verse number 22. When you have it, declare, I have it with a loud voice. Amen. And the Bible reads that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And I'm going to just stop right there, just, amen, for the sake of time. But I want to pause here, and I want to tell someone that you can live right. Amen. You can live right. You can. Amen. 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 Let's give the Lord a great big hand. Amen. And do me a favor. Encourage somebody sitting next to you and tell them you can live right. Live right. You can. You can. Amen. Amen. You all may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Amen. And I come here, amen, my dear brothers and sisters, to not degrade or to beat up on the people of God. Amen. Certainly, so many times we're dogmatic in our approach as it relates to the things of God. And we forget that scripture reminds us that all of us in here, from the preacher to the pew, have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And sometime those of us who God has strengthened, sometime we look at those who are weak, amen, as though something is wrong with them. But it's because of those of us who are strong is able to allow the weak to say that I am strong. It's because of how good God is and how good he's been to us, that we can tell those who are having difficulties with living right that God is no respecter of a person, that if he could do it for me, then he can do it for you. And if the truth be told, if we would testify, tell the truth and shame the devil, those of us who claim to be strong in the Lord, we can tell folks that we struggle just like you do on a day-to-day basis. Amen. That it is not only you that are in this struggle, but it's all of us. But it is just us that have made up mind that we're going to please God. Amen. No matter what. And I do believe that there is more of us, amen, in here that have the desire to live right than to live wrong. Amen. I do believe that. I don't believe, and no one can convince me, that you are just coming here out of religious tradition. Amen, that you're taking time out of your day, out of your Sunday, your only day off, amen, to come and listen to me for a half hour, 45 minutes, to leave out of here worse than what you did when you came, or to leave out the same. I truly believe that everybody that comes in here want to leave out of here better. Amen. Amen. And so it is here, then, that I don't point the finger at anybody, but I point the finger to Jesus. And I tell all of us that it is him that we live, move, and have our being. If it had not been for him, I wouldn't be able to stand here today, because I would stand here in shame and in disgrace. But it's because of the glory and goodness of God that I can stand here and use my downfalls to lift up others and to tell others, look at what the Lord has done for me. And if he's done it for me, do me a favor and bump three people and tell them he's able to do it for you. He's able to lift you up. He's able to give you a fresh anointing. He's able to make all the things that were meant for evil work for your good. He's able to take those who talked about you, feel ashamed that they ever put their mouth on you. He is able. Yes, he is. And so it is here that I come to encourage somebody and tell them that you can live right. Amen. You can. There's a joy. There's a peace that comes with living right. And it is here because it's crucial that we should not beat down on anybody, but that we should lift up everybody that we come in encounter with, because heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. And so it is our job in these last and evil days to prepare people for the place that had been prepared for them before the foundations of the world. And it is here, my dear brothers and sisters, that many of us struggle with living right because of our decisions. And our, if the truth be told, many of us, we struggle with this thing called living right because of our decisions. And for many of us, our decisions are flesh motivated. And for some of us, we could say, you know what, I'm struggling today with living right, and because of the decisions that I made out of the flesh, it's become a struggle because I'm making decisions out of my flesh instead of out of the Spirit of God. It is here that I want to let everybody in here know. And as I speak to you, they tell me here that in preaching that the message is first given to the preacher. Amen. Even as he speaks, he's speaking to himself first. And then he speaks to everybody else. And it's wonderful how God uses us to encourage others. But as we encourage others, really we are encouraging ourselves. And it is here that your decisions create the world that you live in. If we would be honest this morning, we would be honest with ourselves and with others, we would conclude that the situations that we are in were predicated based on the decisions that we made. If we could just be truthful. Amen. Do me a favor and look at somebody and tell them, I'm tired of living a lie. I'm tired of living a lie. I'm going to go ahead and be honest, because the decisions that I made causes the world that I now live in, whether it be good or whether it be bad. And verse number 22 says this. It says that you take off concerning the former conversation. The word here, conversation, you can put right there, manner of life. That you put off concerning the former manner of life, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. It is here, my dear brothers and sisters, that the Bible, it instructs us to take off everything that is not like God. Amen. There is some things that you must take off so that God can put some things on you. See, it is here that God cannot put bless on mess. Because, see, it's the mess that will cause you to mess up the bless. And so it is here that he instructs us to take off the mess so that he can put blessings on us that we will not mess up because of our way of living. And it is here that everything, anything that is not like God, Those are the things that we should take off and remove out of our lives. You have to take off, my dear brothers and sisters, the old manner of life. And you have to put it in the trash, just as you would old clothes that has no more value. See, it is here that some clothes, they are not even fit for those of us that are kingdom-minded. Some clothes are not even fit to be hand-me-downs. See, those of us that are kingdom, we don't want to give anybody anything that we don't want ourselves. See, the things that I give away are things that I say, man, I sure wish I could fit that. Amen. Because it still has purpose. And you must take off your old manner of life and put it in the dumpster. I believe trash day around here is Wednesday. If your dumpster is full, come bring it to ours. Because your old way of life is not productive as a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. There should be a distinct contrast between the old you and the new you. See, it is impossible, my dear brothers and sisters, to be around the people of God, the things of God, around Christ, and remain the same. It's impossible. And I want to pat a few of you on the back, because although you're struggling, you're still fighting. And so, Pastor, how is it that I feel so bad? I feel so messed up. I feel like I've let God down so many times. See, other folks would look at you and tell you all the negative things that they could think about on why you let God down or why you feel like you feel. But if the truth would really be told, just the fact that you feel like you let God down is evident that God is working in your life, because there was once a time when you would do things with no conscience and no remorse. But just the fact that now when you do things, you actually think about it and struggle with it, even though you do it, but you have a thought about it before you do it and after you do it, you ask yourself, why did I do that? I know that I know better. It's that gives us revelation that God is still at work in our lives. See, it is here, my dear brothers and sisters, that the old person, the old man, your old man, was motivated, get this, by selfish desires. See, your old nature had a tendency to want to please self. See, the old you, and some of you, I understand that you still, from time to time, you give in to that feeling when you want to please self. And many times, that is because we're not spending enough time with God. See, when you spend enough time with God, there's something on the inside of you that will override or supersede the feeling that you feel to want to please yourself. See, now the old man, it had selfish desires. It was motivated by selfish motives. But the new you is motivated by selfless desires. In other words, it is my desire to be a blessing than for people to bless me. It is here that I look to give more than I receive. Because the Bible says that the answer to receiving is giving. And it's here that every giver in here, I know sometimes it get tight. Sometimes you get tired of looking out for others who are unappreciative. But it is God who always makes sure that the sower have seed. And so when you are a giver, when you are selfless, God will always make sure that every need that you have will be met. See, it is here that the new me operate to the best of my ability in selflessness. Because selfish folks only think about themselves, but selfless folks think about others. See, when you are selfless, it will help you to live better. It will help you to live right. Why? Because if I do this, not only will it affect me, but it's going to affect all of those who are around me. And so I'm going to move from self into selflessness because I must please God. Because as long as I please him, then everybody else will be pleased that is around me. And if by chance they are not, then they have to take it up with God themselves. And so it is here that when we are in Christ, the Bible says that we are new creatures. Old things are passed away. And behold, all things will become new or shall become new. So it is here that whoever I used to be, he's passed away. She's passed away. And I become somebody totally different. I become a new creation, a new creature. Might I suggest to you that you have to stop intertangling and commingling your old self and your new self together. Because the truth of the matter, no, it does not matter how your old self put on the front like it likes your new self. It does not. And your old you will always try to bring the new you back to the old you. Because it's the old you that were working on the wages called sin. And the wages of sin is death. But the new you works on the gift, the free gift that is called eternal life. See, I want to help you this morning. I'm not going to just hype you and we shout and dance and then the preacher preached good. What he preach about, girl, I don't know, but his show was good. No, we're going to chase the devil out of here. Amen. No. Because the moment that you were in Christ, the moment that you gave your life to Christ, the old you died. And it's one thing about a dead person is a dead man or a dead woman cannot talk. So you have no business listening to your old sinful desires. And whenever that old you, the old you try to come back, you have a right to tell the old you that it have a right to remain silent. And anything you say can and will be held against you. No. We don't serve a God of the dead. We serve a God of the living. So it is here, my dear brothers and sisters, you must know that you are a new creature. It does not matter how many times you keep going back and forth making bad decisions, you are still a new creature. And you must operate in the newness of life that comes from God. And it is here that verse number 23 says this. It says, and I sure wish I could work all the way to 29, but I don't think I'm going to have time. But I'm going to work what I have. Because the Bible says, and be renewed. Mm-hmm. Watch it here. In the spirit of your mind. You must, and I say must, you must. And I'm going to say it one more time. You must. Anytime I start to repeat something, it's a good place to write it down. You must allow the Holy Spirit to be at work in you. Because if you don't allow the Holy Spirit to work, then it's not going to work in you. Why? Because the Spirit of God and things of God and God, he's not forceful. See, he's not going to make you do anything. He's going to give you power to make the right choices and decisions. And he's going to give you power over the things that once had power over you. And then he's going to say, I put before you life and death. And then he's going to give you the answer and says, choose life. But it all comes down to a personal relationship. And so it is not the pastor that can make the Holy Spirit work in you. Now, certainly the pastor, we can tarry for the Holy Ghost. We can pray and fast on your behalf. But it's going to come down to a personal relationship and a personal decision that you are going to allow the Holy Spirit to work in you. How do I know that it's the Holy Spirit? Because the Holy Spirit will never tell you to do anything wrong. See, it's the Holy Spirit that is that still small voice that is telling you, don't do that. Then when you go to do it, it says, don't do that. And then you get closer to doing it, it says, don't do that. But now sometimes our selfish will, our own will, can override the voice of the Spirit of God. And it is us that must allow the Holy Spirit to work in us. The Holy Spirit, somebody shout the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will renew your thoughts. And the Holy Spirit will renew your attitude. See, the Bible says that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. It is the Holy Spirit working in you that will allow you to think with that sound mind. Amen. Stay focused. Don't be distracted. The devil is a liar. Amen. The devil is a liar. Don't get distracted. Don't get sidetracked. Because it is many times within our own mind where battles are won and where battles are lost before they are ever fought. Because whatever you allow your mind to tell yourself, that's what you will believe or have a tendency to believe. And you have to be careful what you allow in your mind. And you have to allow the Holy Spirit to renew your mind. Somebody shout amen. 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 It is here that if you are going to live a saved lifestyle, you're going to have to be able to make sound choices and sound decisions. See, the Bible says that a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. So it is here that sound folks, sound thinking people don't have double minds. And then it says that the Holy Spirit will renew or change your attitude. I think I could preach a whole sermon right here just about attitude. All right. It is because your attitude affects your altitude. And some places God wants to take you to, but you don't have the attitude to handle it. See, God wants to take you higher. But the higher God takes you, for some of us, our attitude gets worse. Some of us, the higher we go, the bigger our head gets. And see, God cannot take an arrogant, boastful, bragful person too high. But see, God can take a humble person, one who walks softly before the Lord and humbly before the people of God. He can take that person to the mountaintop. Because God knows that it's the humble that will give glory to me. It's the boastful and bragful that will give glory to themselves. And so attitude affects altitude. It's the Holy Spirit. I know we don't hear that term often in church, but it's the Holy Spirit that will lead you and guide you into all truth. It's the Holy Ghost. See, the Holy Ghost has a way of recalculating you. See, you can be driving down the highway and the Holy Ghost will say, get off right now. And you don't even know why, but the Holy Spirit can sense danger, seen as well as unseen. And when you have the Holy Ghost, you don't have to worry about any weapon that's formed against you. Because the Holy Spirit is saying, don't panic, I'm in control. And I'm getting ready to make this weapon and that weapon and that weapon work for you. It's the Holy Ghost. You better cut it out, Brother Rob. I feel a hoop coming on. All right. Just give me a little bit more time. Just give me a few more minutes. I don't want to cheat you this morning. I don't want to cheat you. But I don't want to cheat you. Here it is. The Holy Spirit will activate the mind of Christ in you. See, the Bible reminds us, it says, let this mind that was in Christ Jesus also be in who? In you. See, it is when I have the mind of Christ in me that my mind, my thoughts really don't even matter. See, it is the mind of Christ that helps me to look for the good in every bad situation. It is the mind of Christ that reminds me that God can work all these things together for my good. It is the mind of Christ that reminds me that nothing can separate me from the love that he has for me. It's the mind of Christ that lets me know that he will prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. It's the mind of Christ that helps me to know that my good days will outweigh my bad days. It's the mind of Christ that helps me to know that the more I suffer, the more he lifts me up. After you've suffered a while, then you will be established. Help me, Holy Ghost. All right. Be seated, please. And verse number 24. If you would, just let me do number 24 and 25, and then I'm going to let you go. Here it is, verse number 24. and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Watch it. It says, and that you put on. See, verse number 22 says that you take off the former conversation. And verse number 24 says, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and what? Not just holiness, but true holiness. Because, see, there is too many of us that have a form of godliness, but deny the very power thereof. But true holiness will tell you to do more than just what I say. But truly, true holiness will say, not only do what I say, but do what I do. And it is when you can put on the new man that you have enough strength to tell the old man, go jump in the lake. Why? Because we know that nothing can separate us from the love that God has for us. And God would not have saved me if he was going to leave me right now. And you have to remind yourself that I am a new creation. And now I chase after holiness and righteousness. Because it's right living that unlock right doors. Thank you, Holy Ghost. It's right living that unlocks right doors. And some of you are praying, Lord, what door should I go? Should I go on door A or door B? But right living will close door A and close door B and open up door E. That's what right living does. Because, see, when you live right, there's a certain aura that comes from you that intimidate those that do not live right. And so those who have a form of godliness in door A and door B will not let you close the door, but they will close the door on you because they cannot have you come in and mess up their program. But thanks be unto God, because I cannot have you mess up my good name. I think somebody ought to shout right there for every closed door. Come on, that's a shout right there. Every door that closed on you, come on and praise God for. Hallelujah. Come on, I know we can shout for open doors, but is there anybody that can shout for every door that was closed on you? Everybody that put you out, I dare you shout and thank God for them. Because if you had to walk through that door, you would not be where you are right now. Come on, everybody that lied on you, come on and praise God for them. Everybody that tried to Jew you out of the job so they can get it, thank God for them. Hallelujah. Come on, I can't hear nobody. Out there, somebody who is mature enough that you can thank God for everybody that put you out. Thank God for everybody that left you, walked out on you, talked about you, lied on you, scandalized you. Come on and thank God for. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Do me a favor and high five somebody and tell them you can live right. You can live better. You can live a blessed life. Do me a favor, look at somebody else and tell them the blessed life is the best life. If you want to live the best life, then it got to be a blessed life. And the only way you can live a blessed life is to live a life full of obedience. All right. All right. Thank you, Jesus. Is there anybody that can cry out for living right? How many of you here know that living right is still the best way? It's still better to be obedient than to make a sacrifice. No matter how much money you give, it does not outweigh living right. Don't matter how many tithes you pay, how much offering you bring. If you're not living right, then you cannot receive the full blessings of the Lord. And it's the blessings of the Lord that maketh us rich and add no sorrow to us. See, what you wanted was not as good as what God wanted for you. That's why I've learned how to wait on the Lord. Because since I started this ministry, God been showing me that what I want for you, son, is better than what you want for you. All you do is worry about preaching the word and let me worry about opening up the doors. Watch it. Watch it. All right. I believe we didn't shout it enough. Go, please, be seated, please. Be seated, please. Amen. Amen. And I encourage all of us here to make it to Bible studies on Wednesday nights. Amen. They have been so powerful. And we're going to be learning from the book of James on Wednesday nights. Amen. But I just want to just one more verse, and I'm going to let you go. Just one more verse. Amen. And it says this here, wherefore, putting away lying. Verse number 25, I'm sorry. And I'm going to conclude from here. Are we all there? All right, let's put it on the screen. We got it? Amen. All right, let's roll. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. For we are members one of another. All right. Watch it here. It is, my dear brothers and sisters, that the enemy uses lying to tear up the church. He used deceitful lust to destroy ministries. That's what he does. He uses a little bit of the truth with a lot of lie to destroy the things of God. That's what he seeks to do. That's what he tries to do. And the Bible says here that let every man speak truth with his neighbor. It is only the truth that will set you free. That's it, only the truth. And we must be so careful in how we handle the truth. Because many of us will use the truth, and we know that the word of God is true. But we'll use it as a baseball bat to beat down on others, not realizing that when we do that, that we are actually lying about the truth. Because God, the Bible says, is love. And it's love and kindness is going to be the draw. And it's going to be that, not some of this other foolishness that we do. It's going to be that, the truth, the love, the kindness, to where we can bend down and pull somebody up. Newsflash, you are not all that you cannot bend down and pick somebody else up. Where would you be if somebody didn't bend down and pick you up? You would still be out there stuck looking for a way to come in. You would still be lost, praying that you can be found. And the Bible says, put away lying, speak every man truth to his neighbors. For watch this. For we are members one of another. Members here. We are body parts, one of another. And it is lying, my dear brothers and sisters, and misrepresentation of the word of God that creates conflict in the church. And so many times what it is here is that we neglect to understand this very fact, is that we are all body parts. We are all members of one body. And the one body is the body of Christ. And it is here, it is here, it is here, my dear brothers and sisters, that we must understand that he is the tree. We are the branches. We are the body parts. And whenever you neglect one of your body parts, you are setting yourself up to be handicapped. Yes, you are. And see, this is how this works. Give me three people real quick. Three people. All right, don't all come at one time. All right. Thank you. Mighty men of God. This is what I'm talking about. You could be seated, elder. We don't want to mess this picture up. This is a perfect portrait of a church. Men. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Because if we want to change anything, it's going to start with men. Mighty men. Come on, women. You better talk to me. If we're going to fix up our homes, we need some mighty men, some praying men that will stand in the gap. That's not afraid to call on Jesus for the family. Amen. If we're going to stop the abandonment of men walking away from children, we're going to need some godly praying men full of the Holy Ghost. Amen. 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 If you want to mess up any portrait, take the man out of it. Why is our family so messed up? Because of absence of men. But let me get back to my lesson. So here it is. We are members, but we're members of one body. So in other words, if I am the ear, he is the hand. Don't forget you the hand now. All right? You are the foot, but you are the leg. I heard the word of God. God told me to move. God wants to move, but God moves through other people. Critical. And so it is here. It is here. I know we say this song, as long as I got Jesus, I don't need nobody else. The Bible says that no man is an island. So in this life, you're going to need somebody else. But if by chance you cannot find anybody else, then you just hold on to Jesus. Watch it here. But as long as there are people in the earth, God uses people to produce blessings. So if this is the foot, this is the leg, this is the hand, I am the ear, right? All right. So here it is. I want you to get right in front of the foot, you're the leg. I want you to come right in front because you're the hand, and I'm the ear. All right? I want you to hold that phone up, sister, and do me a favor. I want you just to go about 4 hours back. It is here that God has given me revelation. I heard God. And so it is here now that I'm leading the rest of the body, and it's not all of the body, but it's enough to get done what we need to get done. All right. Some people will say, he don't know what he's talking about. He left out the rest of the body. Haters. All right. But, all right, here you go. All right. So watch it here. So here it is here that I heard the word. And now I'm moving with the body to possess what the word has told me that I could have. All right. So now I hear it. And I get right to it, but my ear cannot grab it. The ear heard it. The foot and the leg moved. They moved to it.
Now, hold on for a minute, Hand. Now, we're all in prayer that we're going to build from ground up. But the only thing we're missing is somebody to put the blocks together. We have the faith. We have the prayer warriors. That's the foot. We have those that sing in the praise team and choir. That's the leg. We have the ear. That's the preacher. But only thing we're missing is the builder. And so now, what we'll cut our nose despite our face. But if I cut off the hand, then all I can do is get to the blessing, but never be able to partake of the blessing. And that's why we need one another, so that we can fulfill the purpose that God has in store for us. And the only way we can fulfill the purpose is by one another. And so it is here. When I get to the blessing, I can hear it. God saying, go for it. The hand, the foot and the leg led me right to it. But only one problem is my ear. My ear can't grab it. But when I activate the hand, get the hand excited, then the hand can do what the ear cannot do. See, the hand can't hear, but the hand can grab. Watch it here. And now that we hear, this is where many of us are. We hear, but what are we going to do about it? Because, see, we've been trying to do it all by ourselves, not knowing that God has sent help. And anything that we want, when we operate as a body, as a unit, there's power in unity. And let me tell you this. When we put our minds to something and we all come together on one accord, there is nothing that can stop us. Whatever we want, we can have. Does not matter what it is. You want to build a church? All you have to do is allow the body as a collective whole to say, we going to build the church. And when we say that, we will give like we're going to build the church. We will pray like we're going to build a church. We will fast like we're going to build a church. And then before you know it, God will put us right there and he'll tell the hand, now go and get it. No, don't shake it. Go get it. Get it. And watch it. The hand is so strong because, come here, because it got a strong arm back in it, that even if whoever is holding in their hand was intended to be in our hand, God used that strong arm, come here, to hold that hand and to keep wrestling with it until whatever is in their hand is let go and the wealth of the wicked is transferred into the hand of the righteous until we take it by force. I dare somebody shout, I'm getting it all back. I'm getting my joy back, my peace back, my anointing back. I'm taking it by force. Come on, prayer warriors, come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on, my prayer team, come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, let's just praise the Lord. Come on and worship the Lord. Come on, he's been good and kind. Come on, let's worship him.